name. Amen. Well, today we pick back up with our series in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Jesus is addressing the importance of the sincerity in our faith practice. And you think about faith practice, and you don't think about practicing faith, but when we say that, it comes, connotations come to mind, but there's a thing about somebody that practices their faith, that they're a, they're a very faithful man or woman of faith, that they there's certain practices that you see in them that's true of them. And Jesus is talking about three things: almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And all three are great Christian duties. And they are the three foundations of the law for the Jewish person. They say that even a lot of other faiths practice these. They're part of the tenets of the Muslim faith. But by doing them, we're saying that this is a part of our homage to God, our service to God with our three principal interests: by prayer with our souls, by fasting with our bodies, and by almsgiving with our estates. Thus, we must not only depart from evil, but do good and do it well. We see in this chapter, Jesus is assuming that this is a part of our faith practice in Matthew chapter 6. You notice he says, while you're giving, while you're praying, and while you fast. There's the assumption that this is part of our practice, our faith practice, and we get good at what we practice. And we practice what we're good at. And so we have to understand that being religious, and when the Bible talks about being religious, the Bible is talking about our faith with God, but sometimes that connotation gets a little bit mixed up with the world, where religious is man's attempt to get to God. Where relationship with Jesus, it's God coming to us, establishing a relationship with us. And we're to understand that God is wanting us to listen to Him, and God is impressing upon us the necessary needs of the Bible to instruct us and to have the Holy Spirit to interpret, to enlighten us. The implication is when you do these things, you're praying, you're fasting, and if you look in your Bible, and you have your Bible, you can go through it later if you have time, but there's headings there that talks about praying and fasting and about treasure and rewards. I have three headings for you today to help us in our outline passage: religious hypocrisy, righteous practice, and heavenly reward. Jesus is warning us here. He begins with a warning to those people. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. The King James Bible, if you have a King James Bible, it says, take heed that ye do not do your alms before men to be seen by them. Some of your translations use the word alms in place of righteousness. Alms is money or goods given to those in need of act of charity. It's not their normal giving. It's over and above. It's giving to the poor. It means in mercy or pity. In original sense, when you give alms, you are dispensing mercy. And we read the word, your righteousness. It's from the Greek word diakosune. The Jews even called the box in the back of the place that they gave alms was called the poor box, the box of righteousness. Jesus tells his audience in the Sermon on the Mount to beware or take heed of the temptation to show off like the hypocrites. Now, it's a really interesting thing because he's telling us to beware. He's telling the followers that you need to beware of this, beware of it. In other words, take heed, warning. There's a warning here to be given to all of us that there's a part of us that likes to show off a little bit, to take credit. I think it was Ronald Reagan that said, you know, if you want to be a good leader, don't worry about who gets the credit. But there is a temptation for us to want to get credit. To beware of that. I have to tell you, I had to think about myself all week about this. Do I want to get credit? I was thinking, like, like as I brought Melissa by, we had to lock up the church last night. I said, I did that part right up there. That's not what it's about, is it? It's about all of us. It's taking all of us to do this. This is a work of God's people and the body of Christ. You know, and so whether you've been up on the roof or not, whether you've just prayed, whether you've given, whether all those things, the food and all that stuff is being done for the glory of God. That's why we're supposed to do it, is the glory of God. So when we think about this, how do we beware? Jesus is telling us, be careful of this temptation, because you're not supposed to show off. You're not supposed to be showing off. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness or your almsgiving before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father. So the religious hypocrisy is practicing piety to be seen by men. In other words, you're trying, the reason why you're doing it, the reason that's in your heart, the motivation is to be seen by other people. He says, take heed. We have to be careful of this. When you practice your piety, be careful of being seen. The word seen comes the word from theomai. Our word for theatrical is this very word. It's meaning to be spectacular so that people notice, you know, to do more, to do it big. So people notice. Being theatrical with a spectacular performance in order to be seen. We pretend to be something we're not. These are three things. One, we practice piety to be seen by men. We know we're in danger of hypocrisy if we're trying to be seen by other people. And we know that we are in danger of falling into this temptation when we do it because we want to pretend to be something we're not. We want to seem righteous. We want to seem good. We want to seem... We're more worried about ourselves than we are about God. You seek out opportunities to be a hypocrite, to be an actor. Your religion is only a show. You seek out opportunities to be seen by men. You go to public places such as the synagogues. Notice in our translation today in Matthew 6, it says, in order to be seen for them, for you have no reward from your Father. Thus you will give to the needy, the sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do. What do the hypocrites do? They go to the synagogues and the streets. They want to make sure that they are seen. They want to make sure it's announced. You blow your own horn. The caution here is that it's done sometimes in superstition. And I've seen this actually from my own family. I've had people, they know I'm a pastor, they know I'm part of a body of Christ, and they give me a check, and they say, here, take that, that's for the church. And they don't even go to church. And they say, you know, why are you doing this? You know, like, you don't even go to church. You know, you don't need to give me, no, I want to give it to you. And it's done out of superstition. In other words, somehow people get the idea from us that this is how I make up for the bad. I do good. Because I got to get rid of all that stuff that I've been doing. I got to make up for it. And I should say, you just need to make up a lot bigger than check then. Because if that's how you think you can buy God's love, you just make a big check. Write a lot of zeros after that comma. Well, I can't do that. Well, do it. You think that you can earn God's love that way. You think that you can earn God's salvation that way. God says, no, you can't. God doesn't need your money. But he does ask of this of us. He says, while you're giving, he does ask this of us. And it's very difficult for some people because we've been brought up. And sometimes we're brought up in faith practices where there is this sense of almost buying or doing the work of grace. The work of giving helps. That's your grace. That's a work. and not a response. You see, the Christian needs to understand the gospel. The reason why we respond to God, the reason why we give back to God, is because he's given to us. We are responding. We are not just doing something. It's not a work of ours. God is the one that we should be concerned about in our faith practice. The inward affections of our heart proclaim the actions outward, the pushes from the heart out to what we do. We're motivated by God. We're not looking to get credit from man, you see. But the hypocrites, no, they blow the horn. They want to get credit. But we have to not wash over this. This is where I was like, well, yeah, those hypocrites, they do that stuff. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. What God is saying is beware of the temptation to show off, to get credit. You remember what his disciples, they said, who's the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest, Jesus? Is it me? Is it me? We're all like that. There's something about us that we want to feel significant about getting credit. So we have to beware of this. God is concerned with our faith practice, and he's concerned mainly with the motivation. The dangers of hypocrisy. Jesus also warned about the dangers of hypocrisy in other chapters. In this chapter, he's in verse 6:2, it says, while giving. In verse 5, it's while praying. And in verse 16, it's while fasting. The sin of using religion to cover up sin. A hypocrite deliberately uses religion to cover up his sins and promote his own gains. The Greek word translated hypocrite originally meant as an actor who wears a mask. The righteousness of the Pharisees was insincere and dishonest. They practiced their religion for the applause of men and not for the reward of God. But true righteousness comes from within. In chapter 11 of Luke, in verses 40 through 42, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for giving alms, but neglecting justice and the love of God. In other words, these religious leaders gave to charity, yet they did not have a true charity in their hearts. Giving to the needy does not necessarily prove a right relationship with God. You'll hear people justify people when they're at funerals. They'll say, they're a good person. I know they gave to this and they gave to that and they're given to, you know, that's what they do, and you hear them justifying it. And it's like, is that, if it was done out of the motivation of loving God and responding to God, yeah, that is a good thing. It is a part of faith practice, and it's a generous thing. But if there was no love in it, then it's a clanging gong. In Luke 12, verse 32, Jesus tells the rich young ruler to sell all he had to give alms to the poor and follow him. Jesus' challenge was meant to reveal where the young man's devotion lay. Did he love money more than the Lord? The man turned and walked away from Jesus, unwilling to part with his fortune. Doing so showed that he was not ready to become a disciple. So Jesus is saying, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, make sure it's God-focused and God-centered. What is the right way? We looked about the religious way. It's the wrong way with the wrong motives. What is the righteous practice? Righteousness meaning right action towards God. When we hear that word in the Bible, it means acting right before God. Righteousness. What is the right way of our practice? Well, number one, we are to give quietly. Don't blow your own horn. He says there, don't sound the trumpet. In verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Give secretly, not public, but private. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Is that what Jesus said? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So that your giving may be in secret, your Father sees in secret. Not public, but private, but noticeable, not noticeable to others, but noticeable to God. Now here's the kick. When we're at work and we think nobody's noticing our work, why should I do this? Why should I work so hard? Why should I pay attention to that so detailed? Why should I be so detailed? Why should I worry about this stuff? And God says, work as if you're working for me. It is noticeable. It may be not noticeable to men and women, but it'll be noticeable to God. So we give quietly, we give secretly. We also give sincerely. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people to be seen by them. That is doing something good for the wrong reasons, which makes it not good. If we are giving to be seen, we're using the poor. See, if I give money to the poor and I want people to notice it, I'm just using them. We are practicing our piety the wrong way with the wrong motives. There will be no reward, Jesus says. You have received your reward. Being seen is all you will get. So we're to give quietly, we're to give secretly, we're to give sincerely, we're to give sacrificially. Where do you get that? Well, from Jesus. Jesus gave sacrificially, didn't he? But he also told us to give sacrificially. He told the rich young ruler, sell your possessions. And so in Luke 12:33, he says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart will be also. Righteous practice, Jesus promises, will bring heavenly rewards. And so almsgiving is a long-standing practice of the Christian. We're to be righteous in our practice when it comes to giving. Jesus and his disciples gave money to the poor. You remember in John 12, verse 6, when the woman did what she did, Jesus said to the leave her alone, because they said she should sell it and give it to the poor. That was a part of their practice. But Jesus says, leave her alone. You will always have the poor. Right now you have me, but for a little while. In Galatians 2:10, he says that we are to remember the poor. It says, only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. And then the godly Tabitha was eulogized as one who continually helped the poor. So righteous giving is encouraged in the Bible. It is seen in the Bible. It is seen in the practice of people's faith. So as we think about it, we are to be aware, to beware of our doing these things, that we might be tempted to be seen by men, to go away from that. Don't sound the trumpet. Be quiet about it. Don't blow your own horn. Other people will see this, and if other people will see it, they will talk about it. It doesn't mean you don't ever give where people don't know, and you never talk about what people say. But he's saying, in general, don't be doing it for those reasons to be seen by people. And it's a matter of the heart, because it's a secret thing, isn't it? It's something that people don't know. It's deep within inside of us whether we're truly giving to the Lord. But there's a heavenly reward. Look in verse 4. It says, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The problem is, we've got to get to the idea of understanding that God is actually noticing who we are and where we're at. Every second of the day, that our hairs on our head are numbered. Because you don't think God is watching. You know, I was doing the shingles up there. Dan and I were trying to do it, and we were getting offline. And we said, should we tell Randy? Don't tell Randy. He'll get mad. He'll yell at us. And Randy was right above us. He goes, what are you saying? We didn't know he was watching. And so we have to understand that God's always watching. And he sees what we do. He says, even a cup of cold water given to the prophet will not lose a prophet's reward. You will be rewarded. Do you remember the disciples? They said, what about us? We have left everything to follow you. And he said, you will be rewarded. There'll be treasure in heaven. Jesus speaks of that in Matthew 6, 18 through 20. You can read that in your own time. Timothy talked about treasure in heaven. We have the example of Matthew 19, verse 21, the rich young ruler. Jesus wants us to know that we'll be rewarded. He wants us to be rewarded. He is telling us, here's what, he says, beware of that temptation of being hypocritical in your giving. Look at your heart. Check your heart and your practice of this. That our hearts should be in it to glorify God. To bring glory to God, not the applause of man. And let us be righteous in our giving. And here's how it is. This is what Jesus is saying. This is how you give. You give secretly. You give sincerely. You give sacrificially. And you will receive a reward. Jesus wants us to be rewarded, friend. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Jesus expects us to know this. He assumes while we do these things that we'll have this in mind. In Revelation 22:12, he says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one of you for what he has done. God is watching. And there's a payday someday. And someday there will be a payday. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to your table, that we who are here today are reminded of your presence and that you see. You see what our practice is, whether we're religious. My friend, you're religious about something. There's something you're sacrificing to. It could even be the wrong thing. Something you're giving your life to that's not healthy. I pray, God, that you would help reveal that to them today as we are part of our practice here, worshiping you and calling your word into our heart to bring light where there is darkness, to bring wisdom. And so, Lord, as the Holy Spirit applies it to our life today, let us consider your words that are we falling into this temptation? As we come to your table now and we practice our communion, we come before you, Lord. Let it be in a way that we are looking for you. That you are most glorified when we're most satisfied in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.